Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org.
I'm going to go on and continue. I'm just going to go through and hit some of the points in this essay now that we're in the second hour, Deanna. We talked about the contamination of traditional Christianity and how Christianity today is basically a Jewish front. It's been contaminated, co-opted, and polluted, and how the tools of Jewish cultural destruction of white Christianity has been miscegenation, homosexuality, pornography, all of these things that Christianity used to oppose. They used to vocally oppose it. Now they embrace it. And that should tell the world something. That should tell, you know, white Christian Americans something, that something is wrong. And one of the steps that I tell white nationalist Christians or they do is when their pastor or preacher or priest is giving a sermon that does not reflect true Christian values, and they know it, to get up and walk out in the middle of service and then tell their congregation why, and make a statement. The time has come. We are at a crossroads given this demographic crisis, and I mentioned the demographics in California. There's other states that are in the same situation. New Mexico is in the same situation. Texas is rapidly approaching that same demographic situation as California. Illinois is precariously close, believe it or not. If you run the numbers, Deanna, it's not a good situation. And I can assure you, I address this in my essay, that once we reach that point of no return, and we're almost there, the new majority, the Negroids and the Mestizos, look at how they conduct themselves now. I saw a tweet yesterday that said, hey, it's Black History Month. It means we can go kill white people. And the thing I want to ask people is, do you want to live in an America that is like South Africa? An America that is like Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia? Do you want to live in a situation? I can assure you that the new majority, when they get a lockstep on all the institutions of power, they will not be benevolent leaders. They will not be what Nelson Mandela is portrayed, which he is not like he is portrayed. So going into the actual content of the essay, as I said, you know, when these third worlders implement third worldism and assume full control of the United States government, they will not be benevolent leaders. They will not assure the full rights and security and safety of the white minority. And that's coming. In California, it will officially be here next year. It's already here. We just haven't officially acknowledged it. Today, let's look at this white nationalist movement. And, you know, the premise is, and this is my premise of this essay, when you understand this, is that there are millions of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant persons in the United States that have not flocked and have not gravitated to the white nationalist movement for a variety of reasons, and I address that in this essay. Those are the people that the white nationalist movement has to reach out to, and that we have to, say, capture and have to bring in to build a broad-based white nationalist movement. Otherwise, we're going to forever be fragmented and arguing over these superfluous little issues. As I say in my essay, the white nationalist response has been pathetic. It's been a 50-year waste and marginalization that have brought us to a point of near no return. The Jewish Marxists, they've been the champions of multiculturalism, aided by, they haven't done this all on their own, Deanna. There have been a whole lot of white useful idiots who have helped them on their advances. There will always be what I call self-hating whites who believe in their heart of hearts that, you know, I give it self-hate. Want to break, I think we'll get up on their end.
I'm sorry, we need to go to a break.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Over into the break. I wasn't looking at the clock, but our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. The website is wvfoundations.org. And so please continue. We should think about taking some phone calls.
Sure, go right ahead. As one example, as I put in the essay, Deanna, if you want a sneak peek into what a majority Negroid or Hispanic run America will look like, I submit to you, look at Chicago, look at, well, Chicago is run by a Jew, there you go. Look at Detroit. I can give you a whole host of other examples. There is a bird's eye view or look at Africa in general. When the European colonial powers essentially in the 1960s left Africa, Africa had outstanding infrastructure. It was a breadbasket. It fed the world. And in 40 years, the people were starving. The infrastructure fell apart. And there's a perfect example. I, for one, think that how people worship is not important when looking at the overall circumstances that our people face. I have a responsibility to my children and to their children to do something today to make sure that doesn't happen. And for whatever reason, that has not seen, that light bulb has not gone off in a lot of heads in the white nationalist movement. They would rather just, I'm going to address that now in my essay. The white nationalist movement's response has been absolutely pathetic. It has allowed itself to be encircled and be under siege by its own laziness, in some cases mental deficiencies, paranoia, cowardice, division, lack of discipline, this fixation on absolute Americanism, groupieism, and a host of other reasons that all amount to a lack of courage and conviction. I see, and I went as I was preparing for this essay, I went and did a whole lot of search of various white nationalist blogs. And on these blogs and on various podcasts, there's been a lot of discussions regarding, you know, what needs to be done. What steps do we need to do to end all of this infighting? Do we need to cultivate new leadership? Or do we need to expose frauds? What do we need to do? What this has demonstrated, that this entire movement, all this refers to in the movement, what's happened is that the movement has relegated itself to internet warfare. And there's no doubt that a great number of these skirmishes and flame wars are instigated by interests whose sole purpose is to assure that there is not a united and cohesive European-American movement, and to make sure that one does not develop. One of the primary shortcomings, and this is a direct quote from my essay, within the movement, has been a rather juvenile emphasis on personalities at the expense of common cause that would establish a future European, a future for European-American children. And here's some examples. There's just far too many so-called or self-described or self-declared white nationalists. They pledge themselves to, you know, this white activist or that white activist, or they hate this one or they hate the other one, and this has consumed most of the attention when it comes to so-called activism. And then finally, the movement has suffered from economic opportunity, from those who may confuse, many confuse as leaders, but who in reality are businessmen and businesswomen who have long since given up on the concept of any victory, but have decided to cash in on milking the business, or mining the problems. Today, many big names in the American movement, as opposed to the European movement, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, have well-developed fundraising efforts to support their very important home-based work, which in reality is low in cost. You know, YouTube videos and drafting an essay every month is not that very costly, Deanna. Jet-setting around the globe, staying in five-star resorts, and essentially living the life of a Judeo-capitalist is quite costly and requires compromise in order to access broader areas of capital. This is what happens when a lot of so-called white nationalists get, you know, they compromise their principles because, you know, sources of revenues begin to get smaller. Many of the big names have long since ceased any real substantial activism and actually do a disservice to white nationalism. With these white nationalist big names, what they're doing is much like what the NAACP does today by reminding the blacks that their movement is not over, and that the NAACP is still successful in receiving millions a year, so, you know, from the blacks, his only income is, you know, from welfare and EBT cards. I mean, this has got to stop. You know, mining the problem. We know what the problem is. We all know what the problem is. We just talked about it on the show today. The problem is one of demographics. The problem is our core institutions, which were designed and meant to serve our people, have been co-opted and corrupted. We have to get them back. And, you know, putting a few YouTube videos out there, they do help. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but that alone is not going to solve the problem. You know, I go on in here and says, you know, our people, our European-American people, are in grave danger in the United States. The time of laziness, tolerance of mental defectives, paranoia, cowardice, and division and lack of discipline, and above all, Americanism and groupieism and the lack of courage of conviction, that has to end. European-American nationalism can no longer afford to fund retirements and semi-retirements and those who simply wish to stay at home and run internet websites. There is a place for the internet, but not in place of real political soldiering. And I emphasize real political soldiering. Our enemies, the Jewish cultural Marxists and their useful white idiots, have long understood this, and their efforts have successfully marginalized our people, our culture, and our movement. The problem within what has been called the white nationalist movement is not one of leadership, or as some have said, the lack of unity. The problem, then, what should be referred to as European ethno-nationalism is multifaceted, but it primarily lacks fundamental discipline to preserve one's race and culture. For if there was fundamental discipline and desire among European Americans as existed among Germans in Germany between 1920 and 1945, we would not see petty fragmentation and the ability of our foes to divide the movement so quickly, so easily, and so effectively. Because of the severe state of affairs, both in what remains the United States and within what has been referred to as the white nationalist movement, severe and drastic changes are required for it to, what I call, break out. Every European American who wishes to see their grandchildren look as they do, and every European American who really and truly believes that our heritage and culture is worth preserving, has to make some choices. You know, the movement as presently operating is clearly a failure. To continue to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result is insanity. And insanity has plagued the movement. It's time for some bold solutions. And I go on to make a final, in that section of the essay I talk about, the time has come to end, you know, petty, bitter divisiveness over Christian identity, paganism, atheists, conventional Christianity, etc. The sole requirement must be one's commitment to the preservation of our kindred and culture. How one worships is not an excluding or should never be an excluding factor, nor should it be a topic of public banter on our blogs, radio shows. This serves only to give our foes ammunition to fire upon us, which we should never do. The deciding factor within our new movement, and I emphasize new movement, should be one's commitment to the preservation of our race and culture. It's that simple. We're not talking about rocket science. The sole determination for persons' admittance is their commitment to our preservation of our race and culture and a future for our children and grandchildren. That's it. I don't care if a person is an atheist. I don't care if they're CI. I don't care if how they worship. We don't need to talk about that. It's not important. If they are committed to our racial and cultural survival and preserving a future for our children, our children's culture, they're in. That's it.
Exactly. I agree with you completely. We need to stop all this this nonsense of picking on other people who have done tremendous work within the movement, within the so-called truth movement, and certainly support their efforts instead of picking and being petty and childish and immature and strutting your big ego, not yours, but strutting egos. It's just insane. And it is so damaging. And you have to ask, where are these people coming from and why are they doing it? Are these people who have infiltrated the movement? Are they agent provocateurs? Just who are these people? And where did they all of a sudden come from? Where did they drop out of?
You said it there, Deanne, and I addressed it a little bit later. What the white nationalist movement has been relegated to is basically a battle of the blogs. You have... It's basically you do not see any real political work, what I call political soldiering anymore. It's basically when you ask a white nationalist, what do you do? What's your degree of activism? Well, I blog over at X blog. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to be perceived as endorsing or, you know, I'm not deriding. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, you know, well, I blog at this blog or I blog at that blog or I'm with so-and-so. That's all utter nonsense because it doesn't accomplish anything. And I'm going to go on because once we basically get over this, well, you know, I don't like your religion, so I'm not going to march with you. And while you're at home pouting because you don't like so-and-so's religion, Jews own the streets and they own the schools and your children don't have a future.
Exactly.
Ronnie,
we do have to take a quick break and we do have some callers lining up. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
And our guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And we do have quite a few callers lined up.
Okay. You want to take a call, or can I kind of go into a little bit of what we must do? We talked about the problems. And
Finish up, and then let's go ahead and take calls.
Okay. We talked about, you know, I think I've addressed that we got to stop bickering over superfluous issues. We need to link arms with racial comrades, and we need to stop how a person worships and what their spiritual beliefs. That's up to them. But what we must do, and I talk about, we have to, white nationalism has to develop a cohesive message that reaches out to a wide range of European Americans. These are the millions of white people, European Americans in America, that are racially conscious, Deanna. I will submit, and I said this earlier in the program, there are millions of Americans at home and work. They go to, they have homes, they have white children, they go to church on Sunday, or they may not go to church on Sunday, but they are racially conscious. But they have not been part of the white nationalist movement because they are horrified. They're absolutely repulsed by what they have seen in the movement. And I'll say rightfully so. Who can blame them? They cannot, you know, there cannot be profanity-laden speeches, gang-like attire and conduct. You know, they cannot be recruitment from prisons. You know, there has to be no tolerance of drugs. We cannot have woman beaters and sexual deviants. And, you know, we have to leave these losers to the Jews and the Marxists. We must never compromise or lower our standards. We must never never be a place for homosexuals, half-breeds, and above all, Jews. There can be no Jews that are movements. Every time there's been, Jews have been allowed to be amongst us. Look what's happened in the United States. Give you an example right now. Welcome to Weimar America, everyone. How's it worked out for us? Those who advocate for moderation of core foundational principles must not be trusted. You know, the Jew will always stick with his or her tribe and has always been a cancer on Western Christian civilization. That's been proven throughout the ages. You know, look up Martin Luther's writings about that. I like Martin Luther. Our goal is the exposure of the Jew for the cancer that it is. There can be no compromise with the Jew or with the preservation of our bloodlines or our culture. We must only fund that which clearly advances the cause of victory. We must look at the large crop of financial consumers, i.e. the fundraisers in the movement, and ask what they really do to advance our cause and what they really do to serve our people. Simply put, there are too many in the movement who need to learn the value of work, as the National Socialists used to advocate, rather than live off the bounties of our people's generosity. And many of our people just simply cannot afford to take, you know, food off the dinner table to support home-based businesses. Too many of these fundraisers live rather isolated lives in their living rooms and become too far removed from the daily lives of our people as well. This has not been talked about. It is not enough to just identify and moan about problems. This is too often used for fundraising. We must, if we are to be credible, demonstrate four very simple principles. We must fully understand the complexities of the issues and problems, be committed to core principles regardless of the artificial wind of the Jew media, have a viable and credible solutions to the problems, not just emotionally charged oversimplifications, and demonstrate that we are qualified to carry out what we propose. We must show these millions of white people that we can govern. That's important. Our movement must be goal and task oriented, meaning that it must not just be solely based on the internet. We must extend our efforts beyond the anonymity and safety of the internet and our living rooms. Our foes have done so and won, and we must meet them head on. Many friends and relatives of white nationalists are unaware of their political convictions. This is cowardice and a big loss of recruitment and outreach. We also have to extend our appeal to the millions of racially aware European Americans who need us. To do this, we must clean up our act, police our own, and no longer tolerate conduct that is more attributable to the Negroid and Mestizo gang member than European American families. The average European American family should not fear those in our movement in the same vein that they fear a third world flash mob. We must also develop a support system for our people who are in need, much like what Hamas does for its people. This will prove to be a tremendous recruiting tool and open the doors to moderation of views of those millions of white European Americans who do not see us in a positive light presently. We must also actively engage our people in a manner that will cause them to embrace us and not our enemies. Sometimes people just choose the lesser of two evils. We must have them choose us because they want to choose the white nationalist message. We need the millions of everyday Americans who really are racially conscious, who have jobs, who own homes or rent homes, go to church, have families. We must stop asking people when they, you know, come to us, well, how long have you been in the movement? You know, what movement, you know, big name have you been with, et cetera, et cetera, and what their favorite group is. And we have to stop that, you know, basing worth based on length of time someone or a person has been in the movement. That's been an abject failure by any measure. We must also clearly define our purpose and mission and not attempt to do everything. This is fragmented our purpose and it's not served.
Indeed. All righty, we do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. And that website is wvfoundations.org. All righty, why don't we take some phone calls here?
Sure, let's take some calls. I can get some more of this in during the calls and such, because it is a long essay.
All righty, let's take Phil in Michigan. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, all right. I just have one question. Like, I don't consider myself a white person. I consider myself, like, Norwegian, and all Norwegian, that's all I am. So, like, when people classify white people, it's, like, confusing. Where does white people end? Like, I think people from Denmark might be almost Norwegian or Scandinavian or Viking-ish, but, like Norwegians aren't Swedes. In Norwegian.
Okay, so what is your point? What are you trying to say here?
Well, he talks about white people.
White people are European, and whether you're talking about Denmark, Sweden, Norway, that's part of the European culture.
So we all get clumped up into white? Where does white end, and where does it start? Italy, do you think they're white? Or
who?
Greece, or I don't know. It's just like it's kind of insulting being, like being a Norwegian. I want to be classified as a Norwegian.
I think people
I don't want to be classified as a white person.
I think people decide if they want to be insulted or not.
Well, let me try to address.
It's absolutely degrading to me being called a white person.
All right, Robbie,
Like, I was called a white person for many years when I worked.
Okay, Phil, let Rodney answer your questions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks for taking my question.
Well, Phil, are you still on, Phil?
Yes.
Do you, I think there was, I understand the premise. There used to be a prevailing line of thought that, you know, subgroups within, say, the white race, per se, like the Nordics were superior to, say, what you were talking about in Italian, you know, say the Italian, are they white? Is that what I'm saying? Is that what I hear you saying, that those of Nordic blood should be carved out? Your question is, that's one of those superfluous arguments that, sure, we can talk about internally, but in the broader scheme of things, you're every bit as in trouble as an Italian and as a Greek in the United, a person of Greek heritage in the United States as an Italian. You're white, my friend. And,
I'm not white, I'm Norwegian.
Well, you are.
Huge difference.
Well, tell me in the broader scheme of things,
a Greek is not a Norwegian.
Okay,
an
Phil,
Italian,
I think we've got
Norwegian.
Your point. Thank you very much for calling into the program.
Let's talk about this, because this type of, and what he was basically wanting to have a debate on is tribalism, and basically saying that, you know, we're going to divide everything, even further fragment the debate and discussions up along tribal lines, and that's not going to serve any good. That's almost as bad as the religious arguments.
Absolutely.
When push comes to shove, in a majority
I think religion is a bunch of crap myself, a whole lot of it.
Okay, well,
anybody that believes in religion
Phil, you called in with one question. Let's stick to what you called in about.
Religion,
let Rodney complete his thoughts on it.
I think to carve yourself out and saying Norwegian is not white, that's a silly statement.
It's not white. It's Norwegian.
Are you black? Are you black, Phil? Are you black? Are you brown?
A black Norwegian?
Are you?
Oh, my God. Right there.
Phil, I think you called in just to be a distraction. I think we'll move
on.
No,
it's not a distraction.
You haven't figured out the nature of what Rodney is trying to say.
Yeah.
This is just a
debate on tribalism.
We are going to move on. Thank you for your call.
That debate versus on tribalism, and that's a superfluous debate along the lines of the religious debate. And we can have that debate internally. But as far as white nationalism goes, we could... it's just silly. It's one of those debates that people like to have on these blogs that gets us nowhere.
All righty, let's see who's next. Bill in Ohio. Bill, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, thank you, Diana. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. It's a great show. I think both you guys are hitting it out of the park. Let your previous caller maybe get sentenced to county jail, and he'll find out just how non-white he actually is. That would be interesting. You want to talk about tribal cohesion? You definitely see it in the prisons. Well, actually, you see it all over. Or let him attend one of the inner city parades.
What is your question?
A couple of things. By and large, I do agree with your guest, Rodney. It is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he raises some very interesting points. One of the things, it's not that I take issue with what he says, and I'm trying to sort of formulate my own ideas, so help me with this. I am a practicing traditional Catholic. I'm also a racialist, a realist, and a nationalist. Where I take issue, though, I found more often than not that the subverters, the Jews, primarily propagate and espouse the whole protocols of Zion, particularly number 14, which is we shall destroy Christ. They hate Christianity. They can't stand it. The only people that have expelled these Jews from 109 of their Europe nation states were Catholic and to a lesser extent were Orthodox. The Protestants haven't done it. Now, that's not to say I can't and won't work with a Protestant. I will. Absolutely I will. And I believe that our similarities, what we have in common, it certainly trumps that which we don't have in common, which I agree with Rodney is superfluous, as it were, in the bigger scheme of things. But Rodney, would you say also that those that attack Christianity, and they do it all over the place, and I do believe they're trying to lead the dissent as well in this particular arena, the so-called truth radio, et cetera, that they are the ones behind it in terms of attacking the Christianity as they do, because again, we are the only ones in history that have expelled these people throughout time. The Protestants haven't done it. I know you said you were a fan of Luther. He actually is the person that propagated the lie that Jesus was a Jew, which he was not. And, of course, he tried to actually convert those people.
Well,
he made an alliance with
them. This sounds like it's going into a religious kind
of really,
thing.
Not really, Diana. No, and I don't want it to be. But I guess my question to Rodney was, does he find also that the biggest proponents of like Lindner a lot, promotes the whole anti-Christianity thing, and certainly anti-Catholicism, that they more often than not are crypto-Jews or subverters? Because you can read the Protocols of Zion number 14, and it says very clearly, we shall destroy Christ.
Okay, Rodney, what are your thoughts?
Well, frankly, Martin Luther spent the last years of his life pushing for the expulsion of the Jews from Germany.
He tried to convert them and failed. Correct. You're right. But this is after. He promised them safe passage through Saxony.
How about letting Rodney answer the question?
Okay, we'll do. Sure, go ahead.
And, Germany was not a Catholic country. The Catholic population was essentially composed in Bavaria. Most of the rest of Germany was Protestant. And Germany basically was kicking the Jews out. So it wasn't just the Catholics that expelled the Jews alone. But I will concede that, yes, the Catholics have done great work in kicking the Jews out throughout history. But, the Germans kicked them out as well. The Jews have had Christianity in their crosshairs for years and years and years, and they have successfully co-opted, corrupted, and at least, for the time being, have destroyed traditional Christianity in the United States, and is contingent upon every true Christian to take it back. And you can practice true Christianity without ever setting foot. It's important not to be caught up with the trappings of a building and confuse that with institutions with Christianity. So I don't want to get sidetracked on from political soldiering into religion. And I would you're one of the individuals I think white nationalism needs to reach out to. So
I would gladly work with a Protestant, with someone of another faith or sect. I have no issue with that. I think it is a superfluous issue in light of the fact of what we're facing.
Let me make a final point. I agree with you as to these other self-described white nationalists who attack, who make it a point to stick a needle in Christianity's eye. It serves no good. As a matter of fact, Hitler himself in one of his tabletop conversations said no good can come from attacking Christianity. It's just no good can come from it whatsoever. He was fundamentally opposed to it. As a matter of fact, I can give you another example. One of his Gauleiters in his particular Gau or district tried to pull the crucifixes out of public schools. A few occasions, Hitler overrode the Gauleiter and ordered the crucifixes to be put back up.
Right. And, of course, he was born a Catholic, and his parents died Catholics as well. It's just an interesting side note for Lindner and the rest of those that want to attack Christianity and specifically Catholicism. Now, I do believe Benedict was an anti-pope. The last three popes have been anti-popes. The church has been taken over by the Jews.
Into who's who and with the popes.
Well, I believe the Vatican's been taken over, Deanna. I think that's an important point, though. Right. Just that they've taken over this country. They've taken over everything. They've had 2,000 years to take over the church. So it's no surprise.
Okay. Thank you,
Thank
Bill,
you so
for
much.
Your phone
Bye-bye.
Call. Artie, let's take Eugene in Ohio.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Interesting show there, Deanne. I listen to you all the time, but this is the first time that I've called in to talk with you.
All righty.
And I'm really happy that I got to get through with you there to touch on this subject. Like I said, it's very interesting there. But I'm sort of perplexed here by what your guest is saying there. I'd just like to know where does he stand on Muslims and the Arab question. And what I mean by that is...
I think it's clear. Rodney, where do you stand?
Well, what do you mean on the Muslim question? Do I think Muslims should be here? Do I think there's a... I'd like to know where you... Finish your question.
Yes, okay. Okay, Rodney. Sure. Do they not have the right to enjoy the fruits of our country here as Americans? And do you see as those people being oppressed and oppressed by the, I guess you would call them Anglos, the Edomites that control everything that come from Eastern Europe, and how they are oppressed by these people. And look at George Bush. I guess you could say he was an example of a white man, but he's somebody I wouldn't give you two dead flies for, okay? Along with people like Dick Cheney and the rest of these...
Let me try to answer. Okay, there's no doubt that... I think I can understand what you're talking. I believe the United States is, should be, and was founded as a white or European, to give deference to the prior caller a couple of calls back, European American Christian nation based on Western Christian civilization. I have problems with allowing Muslims to immigrate here every bit as much as I have problems allowing mestizos to immigrate here and other non-European immigration for a whole lot of reasons. Muslim immigration into Europe has been catastrophic. There's no reason to believe it wouldn't be equally catastrophic here. Do I agree with what's been done to Muslim countries by the United States at the behest of Israel and Jews and Zionists? No, I don't agree with it whatsoever. It's been an absolute travesty. Do I agree with what's happening in Gaza? No, it's a travesty. In fact, I think that we should arm the Palestinians. It's absolutely crazy what's happening.
Well, then shouldn't we all unite together as one who is awake and who understands what the Edomite Esau problem is, and that if we can become brothers in arms with Muslims that think the same way that other thinking people do,
I would have no problem supporting the Palestinians and their struggle against Israel for a whole lot of reasons. I do not support Muslim immigration into the United States for the same reasons why I don't support mestizo and other non-European immigration. It has a devastating effect on our culture, social norms. I'll leave it at that.
Well, see, I'm still confused about this whole thing here because
an American that out.
I'm an American, which I consider myself. My mother, she is German and Irish. My father, he is Lebanese.
Eugene, I think this is kind of a distraction.
I just want to get this point right here, and then I shall hang up there. Shouldn't one that considers herself an American and that wishes to follow the Constitution and the rule of law, no matter what their background is, why toss them aside there? And see,
nobody's tossing anybody aside, Eugene. I think you better just re-listen to what Rodney said, and thank you so much for your phone call. I do appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I hate to be rude, but...
I think also, the rest of my essay also, remember, I have also, I don't come down as one of these diehard 1776ers that says that there's, you know, that the U.S. Constitution is a holy grail. That may rub some people the wrong way. The U.S. Constitution...
was an elite document.
The Founding Fathers left a lot undone and unsaid.
Exactly. We do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today has been Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. We have about 4 minutes. We have 2 callers left, and you have some conclusions that you'd like to
yeah, give. Let me also, there's an interesting comment, and I hear this all the time in the chat room about white nationalism and BS, and talks about the genocide of Native peoples. Actually, that's a misnomer. Native peoples waged war on each other long before we got here. And that, the individual who wrote that really needs to do a little more historical research before they lay a significant amount of the genocide card on white people. There's no people more nationalistic than what people are referred to as Native Americans. As a matter of fact, racialism is codified in United States law on behalf of Native peoples. They are allowed to have their own enclaves that are defined by race. They are allowed to have their own little nation states, which is purely defined by race. They are allowed to have adoptions voided based on race, called the Indian Child Welfare Law. So when he basically chastises nationalism in favor of issues of Native Americans, they are the only ethnic group in the United States that has laws codified federally and at the state level based on race. So he may want to rethink that. Real briefly, I wanted to just touch on a few more points in this essay, and I did people on the chat room. The entire essay is posted on my website. We must clearly define our purpose and mission and not attempt to do everything. We cannot be conspiracy theorists, patriots, pseudo-intellectuals, survivalists, Middle East justice seekers, etc. Our mission must clearly be defined, and we must have the discipline to stick to that mission, which is the preservation of our race, culture, and to support the white middle-class European Americans, which are getting hammered. That is where that tremendous amount of recruitment can take place. White middle-class Americans are being hammered, and as I say later in my essay, we must offer the white nationalist message. We must offer people true freedom and bread, and that's what made the National Socialists so successful. I also talk about we must stop acting like Democrats and Republicans, and above all, we have to stop acting like rabid libertarians. These people are the people who brought us third world immigration on steroids, worshiping of the Jews, surrendered our cultural and education, political and legal systems to Jewish Marxists, all in the name of, quote, freedom. We must be nationalists with elements of populism, and above all, we must be racial. And we must stop ceding any ground to the Jews, multiculturalists, and their white useful idiots. And we must also know who our allies are and who our allies are not. Those who seek common cause with the Jews are not our allies. Those who seek better understanding with the Jews are not our allies. Those who will climb into bed with anyone who does not have absolute dedication to the preservation of our children's future are not our allies, and above all, anyone, regardless of prior achievement, who places fundraising and personal financial interests above the preservation of our children's future and collaborates with our enemies is not our enemies. Our allies. The entire essay is posted on my homepage.
All righty. We've run out of time. Thank you so much, Rodney, for being on the program. We will talk to you soon. Sorry we couldn't take the last two callers, but be sure and read that essay. That's at wvfoundations.org. Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.